हरिः ओम् तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ओम् सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्ताम् वन्दे गुरुपरम्पराम् वेदाः स्वस्ति नस्तार्क्ष्यो अरिष्टनेमिः स्वस्ति नो बृहस्पतिर्दधातु ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। इन् दिस् अलात शान्ति प्रकरणम् द फोर्थ चैप्टर गौडपादाचार्यजी बिगिन्स् हिस् टीचिंग रिफ्यूटिंग अदर स्कूल्स ऑफ थॉट mainly the Sankhya philosopher and Yogacara Buddha. He also negated karma being the view of karma being the cause of the creation. So having refuted the other views of other schools of thought who accept duality as the reality, thereby who present their own theories of creation, then Gaudapadacharya reproduces, again presents the teaching, the essence of the Vedantic teaching, which he has already done in the second and third chapters here. And the examples, what is the main teaching, what is the teaching what we understand? After arriving at the truth of the I being Turiya Chaitanyam, the consciousness obtaining like the fourth person, obtaining as the experiencer in all the three states of experience, as the Vishwaha, Tajasaha and Pragyaha, but being distinct from all the three of them, that which is there is pure consciousness. That consciousness is the like the fourth person. Therefore, it's known by the term Turiyam. And that Turiyam, Chaitanyam, is the truth of I. And that Turiyam is Brahma, reality. And Turiyam is the truth of the whole. This he teaches in the first chapter. Then, the second chapter, he makes it, he uses different example. Mainly the example of the dream universe to negate this waking universe as mithya. This waking universe, our perception of this waking universe is not right. There is error in our perception of this waking universe. Why there is error in the perception of this waking universe? Because there is error in the perception of the very self. There is error in the perception of the self. There is error in the perception of the external world. What do we think? The error in the perception of the world is this world is mistaken to be absolutely real one. This external world is mistaken for absolute reality. Absolutely real. And this is, this world is not unreal, but this world is empirically, relatively real, but not absolutely real. Therefore, this world is not absolutely real, it is only relatively real, therefore it is mithya, it is not satyam, like the dream universe. Therefore, using the dream experience as an example, even though dream universe is experienced, and even though dream objects serve the purpose in the dream, and even though dream universe also is within the realm of an order, still dream universe is mithya from the standpoint of the waker. Similarly, dream universe is not mithya from the standpoint of the dreamer. Dream universe is very, very real from the standpoint of the one who is experiencing the dream. But the dream universe is mithya from which standpoint? The standpoint of the waker, dream is mithya. Similarly, this waking universe which you are experiencing also is not unreal. It is relatively empirically real from the standpoint of the Vishvaha, the waker. But that's why this waking universe is real from the standpoint of the waker. But when you understand what is that which obtains us the waker, what is that without whom there cannot be somebody called waker, what is that without whom there cannot be somebody called Taijasaha, what is that without whose presence there cannot be an experiencer of dream or the waking, there cannot be experiencer even of the non-experience of the world also. There cannot be something called experiencer. There cannot be somebody called experiencer. What is that? That reality is the Turiya Chaitanyam, the consciousness which is like the fourth person, obtaining in all three states of experience as the experiencer, is what? Which is distinct from all of them. That consciousness is, we say what? Is, from the standpoint of the Turiyam, the consciousness, this waking universe also is Mithya. When you talk about the Mithyatvam of the world, you have to be very careful from which standpoint you are negating. You cannot negate the dream as Mithya from the standpoint of a dreamer. You can negate the dream as Mithya, only from the standpoint of the waker. Similarly, this waking universe also is real from the standpoint of the waker. But this waking universe is Mithya from the standpoint of the consciousness, which is the reality. Therefore, when he negates this waking universe as Mithya, then the third chapter, he makes it very clear in Advaita Prakaranam, there is no knower other than consciousness. There is no known other than consciousness, Brahman. Therefore, the knower-known division is relatively real, empirically real, absolutely. There is no knower or the known. Therefore, there is no duality. There is only non-dual, secondless reality, the consciousness. All that is here is only Brahman. He establishes the vision of non-duality of the reality in the third chapter. And now, in the fourth chapter, he reproduces the teaching I said. So here also, what does he do? He gives many examples to say, the main teaching is what? Therefore, all that is here is only Brahman, the consciousness. And the consciousness is what? No, actually, I am that consciousness. Therefore, I am the whole. Aham idam sarvam. Brahmai vaham asmi. Brahmai vaham idam sarvam asmi. I, the self, am the consciousness, the whole. I am the whole. The whole teaching is what? You are the whole. You are the whole. But here now, in fourth chapter, you have to say what? I am the whole. When you say I am the whole, you are meaning what? You are saying, I is resolved in consciousness. From this standpoint of Turiyam, when you see the self being consciousness, from the standpoint of consciousness, having essence in resolved in consciousness, you can say, I am the whole. Having the essence in the body, sitting on a small chair, if you say, I am the whole, and that means H-O-L-E, whole, and the buddhi. It cannot be W-H-O-L-E, isn't it? So, I am the whole. Aham idam sarvam. So Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya Jivo Brahma Iva Naparaha. Jivan is nothing. There is no Jivatma other than Brahma. There is no Jagat other than Brahma. All that is here is only Brahma. That it is the fact. This is a most abstract fact. It is not a matter for belief. Upanishad does not expect us. No Vedanta teacher should go and force everybody to believe this. It is not a matter for belief. It is not something to be believed. It is something to be understood. If you understand this, it is a fact. If you have not understood, it is ununderstood fact. It is not a, okay? It is not a something to be believed. Anyway, so here also in this Gaurupa Acharya in the fourth chapter also uses the example of dream first, and there he mentions what it is, because the world is experienced, therefore the gross tangible world, when it is experienced, how to say this world is mithya? How to say there is no world, there is only Brahma? It is very difficult for the gross mind to appreciate this fact repeatedly. How much do you understand? Again the doubt comes, no. Yeah, understand the world is mithya. No, how can you say the world is mithya? Because so tangible and gross universe, how can you say it is mithya, isn't it? So, that is why he uses again, this world is experienced, and the very fact it is experienced is, therefore it is what is mithya. Which means, it has no independent existence of its own. It has no substance called universe. The universe has no substantiality of its own. It is just a non-substantial name and form. Therefore, the universe is mithya. Yes, all the worldly objects, the experienced objects are very useful. Which is not useful here? All the objects are very, very useful. And the standpoint of the utility of the objects also, we cannot say world is very real for us. Yes, it is relatively, empirically real from the standpoint of the waker. It is useful in the waking. But still, it is not satyam. It has no independent existence. Mithya. Oh, the world is within the realm of amazingly, you know, the beautiful, the orderliness. The law and order, everything exists within the realm of an order. For every object is very significant, every life is very significant. Therefore, this world can't be negated as mithya. No, even then, this world is mithya. In spite of the fact of the world being an object of experience, in spite of the fact of all the worldly objects being very, very useful, and in spite of the world being existent within the realm of the universal law and order, still this external waking universe is a mithya from the standpoint of the Turiyam, the Chaitanyam. Made it very clear first, and for which he used the dream as the example. Then second example he uses is the magician. Now you can become very clear for you. Dream is used as the example. No, to negate this waking universe as mithya from the standpoint of Turiya Atma. Then next he uses the example of a magician's, you know, magical products. How objects which are experienced in the magic show seem to be very, very real, but still they are not real. Similarly, this world seems to be very real, it is seemingly real, absolutely it is non-real. I am not saying unreal, it is mithya, which is it is not there. Then the third example he used is what? Alataha. Next week we'll do the meaning of the word shanti. Okay, alata shanti we'll understand next week. But this week, this class, we'll understand what? Alataha, the fire brand is used as an example. And there he discussed how the varieties of designs and patterns caused by the movement of the firebrand seem to be very real, but they are not real. And we cannot establish the origination of the designs and patterns, nor can we establish the resolution of the, talk about the resolution of the designs and patterns, which means there is no substance called designs and patterns. The only substance is what? The Aladi, glowing tip of the Alata. To that example also, he established all these objects which are experienced here are as mithya, as the designs and patterns caused by the Alata's fire, the movement of firebrand. Alata spandita abhasa sadrishaha jagad, you know, amshaha, all these dharmaha, all these beings here established. Third example, three examples he used to establish that. Then afterwards, now he is continuing the same teaching differently. So let us read this now. Very important summary, personal summary always, isn't it? The last clause mainly, even if he established very clearly how this whole jagat is mithya, from the standpoint of the Turiyam, still the doubt might come. Why? Because all the time we say what? Brahman, the reality implied by the term Brahman is pure consciousness. And we always talk about the power of consciousness called Maya. And we say the Maya is the cause of this universe. And the universe is the product of Maya. What is Jagat? Jagat is Maya Karyam. Product of, the cause of this universe is Maya. Therefore, universe is the effect, Maya is the cause. And what is this cause? Power of Maya. Maya is power of consciousness. Chit-chaktihi. Chit-chaktihi. Chaitanya-shaktihi. We say that. Which means, and here the question comes, therefore, if consciousness is the reality, what about the power of consciousness if it is Maya? Then the Jagat must be real. Then he made very clear, a Maya is also Mithya. Maya is nothing but that which is not really is Maya. And therefore, the knowledge unmanifest is ignorance. What is ignorance? The knowledge unmanifest is ignorance. And the knowledge unmanifest is what? The power of knowing is the power of knowing. When it is unmanifest, it is called Maya. When it is manifest, it is the universe. Okay? Therefore, power of consciousness also does not have independent existence outside of consciousness. There is no such a thing called power other than consciousness. I gave this example last class also. Just as fire and heat are not two independent entities, because heat is the inseparable intrinsic property of the fire. Similarly, here also, this power of knowing is also what? Intrinsic, independent, inseparable nature of the reality. Therefore, it is not something other than consciousness. Therefore, what? It has no power, does not have independent existence. Heat does not have independent existence outside of the fire. So, anything which does not have independent existence is called what? Mithya. There is no substance called heat minus fire. There is no substance called light minus sun. Understand? There is no substance called heat minus fire. Similarly, there's a substance called power of knowing minus consciousness. Therefore, Maya is mithya. If you really search for what Maya is, Maya will disappear. How? Just as if you search, if you want to know closely, when you probe into what is this snake, what is this snake, and the snake will resolve in the very rope without being driven away. In the same way, here Maya also will resolve in consciousness. For Maya is mithya means, Maya's product, this jagat also must be what? Mithya. And the Swamiji's example is what? A dream beautiful girl cannot become a real daughter-in-law in the waking state. Isn't it? The dream beautiful girl you have seen can get married to another boy who is you have seen in the dream itself, but not in the waking state boy. Similarly here, if Maya is mithya, the effect product of Maya also must be what? Mithya. He negates that aspect also. He negates the very Maya. He negates the Maya karyam jagat. Therefore what? Therefore, there is no such thing called jagat absolutely. From the standpoint of consciousness, all that is here is nothing but consciousness in seeming motion. Okay? That is why when we say hereafter, in knowledge, when you look at this universe, what should be your expression? The whole universe is Maya, illusion. Don't say that. That is the expression of an ignorant person. What should be your expression? The whole cosmos is knowledge. Jnanam. All that is a manifestation of knowledge. Two ways of looking at this. If you say everything is Maya, then it is illusion. Is the world illusion or knowledge? Tell me. Knowledge manifest is this universe. This, okay? So we don't say world is illusion. World is knowledge. Manifest knowledge. What is knowledge? Brahma. Who is Brahma? Aham Brahma. Where is your body minus complex? Also what? Manifestation of knowledge. Your heart, your lung, your kidney, your mind, your thoughts, your body, everything is manifestation of knowledge. What about everything else in front of you? Everything is manifestation of knowledge. Everything is jnanam, jnanam, jnanam. Okay, this also he made very clear in the last class. He made clear long ago. I made clear last week, this much. I had reproduced the whole thing again. Okay, let us go to the next verse now. The last point he mentioned is what? Maya cannot be defined. Consciousness also cannot be defined. Non-definable. Why Maya is non-definable? Because Maya is not there. Matter is non-definable. Why? Because there is no such thing, substance called matter. My God, what a guts. No, one must have to say there is no substance called matter. For us, the matter is the substance. For the gross mind person, matter is the substance. And holding on to matter as the substance, all our researches are happening. That's why it is not bad. Any research is happening here in the field of science based on the matter is going to con discovery of lots of new facts. They'll all make our lives very, very comfortable, isn't it? We'll have more and more of comforts the more we discover. Isn't it? Therefore, that is fine, but still there is no the moksha. We have to remember. That's all fine. It's all Bhagavan again, jnanam. What we say here, why matter is non-definable? Why Maya is non-definable? You cannot say Maya is permanently there. It is impermanent. It's eternal, non-eternal. You cannot say because it is not there. How can something which is not there be defined? something which is there alone can be defined. Something which is not there, how can you define it? You cannot talk about something which is not really there. Okay. Therefore, Maya is non-definable. What about consciousness? Consciousness also is non-definable, indescribable. Why? Because it doesn't have attributes. Consciousness is of the nature of attributelessness. Therefore, it cannot be defined. And for an object to be defined, for anything to be explained, to be described, it must fulfill some conditions, which I told you last class, jatihi, gunaha, kriya, dravyam, sambandaha. These are the five aspects, a thing should have, fulfill in order to be describable. And here, Atma, the consciousness, cannot be described because it has no birth and no change and no function and no karma, no sambandha. Because of its oneness, it has no sambandha. Isn't it? Secondlessness, no connection. There is no parallel reality. There is no nothing else other than consciousness here, absolutely. Therefore, it cannot be compared. Therefore, it is no connection also. No relationship, no some connection is possible. Therefore, these consciousness does not fulfill any of these five conditions. Therefore, consciousness is of the nature of attributelessness. Therefore, consciousness is also non-definable. What is the Sanskrit term, technical term we use? Anirvachaniyam. Chaitanyam Brahma Anirvachaniyam. Maya Anirvachaniya. இன்னதுன்னு சொல்ல முடியாது. அண்டர்ஸ்டாண்ட்? அனிர்வச்சனியம், இன்டிஃபைன், நான் டிஃபைனபிள், இன்எக்ஸ்பிளிக்கபிள். தட் இஸ் வை இன் தைத்திரேய உபனிஷத் இட் இஸ் செட் தி வேர்ட்ஸ் கோ ட்ரை டு எக்ஸ்பிளைன் பிரம்மன், தே கம் பேக் இன்கேபபிள் ஆஃப் டிஸ்கிரைபிங். யதோ வாசோ நிவர்த் தந்தே அப்ராப்யமனசாசஹ. The sense powers try, they come back. Mind tries, intellect tries, let me discover this consciousness crushing myself. Poor mind, intellect works very, very hard, sits in hours and hours of meditation also. Still the mind can never reach consciousness. Never, intellect cannot reach consciousness. The sense powers cannot perceive consciousness. Words cannot describe consciousness. Why? Because consciousness is never an object of knowledge. Consciousness is not a subject of knowledge also. But it is available for recognition as the swarupam of the knower subject. Okay, therefore, she is mistaken for the subject or the object. And this is beautifully said in the Kena Upanishad. In Kena Upanishad, the story is presented. This, the devas like Indra, Vayuhu and Agni, they try to go and find out who this Yaksham was. They go near, they come back, they cannot find out. Similarly, then the Indra goes. Indra stands for the mind. Indra also comes back. How can these material instruments of subtle instruments of the instruments of knowledge, when they themselves are dependent on the very consciousness for their very existence and activation? How can they reveal consciousness? It is like an opaque object, the poor opaque object being dependent on the very light to come to light. It can never shine by itself. It has to shine after the light, and this opaque object is trying to bring conscious light to light. Similarly, the inert material mind and sense powers are incapable of bringing consciousness to light. Isn't it? Therefore, what do you want to say? It is not an object of knowledge. It is not available. No word can ever describe consciousness. because it is of the nature of attributelessness. And that non-definability of consciousness and Maya is also made very clear in the previous verses which we saw in the last class. Until now, I only recapped what I had done last class. Sorry for taking time because I cannot go ahead otherwise. Today you have to bear with me. Okay. Yatha 61st Karika. Yatha swapne dvayabhasam.
Yatha swapne dvayabhasam.
Chittam chalati mayaya.
Chittam chalati mayaya.
Tatha jagradvaya bhasam.
Tatha jagradvaya
bhasam. Chittam chalati mayaya.
Chittam chalati mayaya.
Having heard so much also, we say what? Yeah, we understood everything, but how to say this universe is mithya? How can you say this universe is mithya? See, Gaudapada Acharya ji reminds us, please never ever tell universe is non-real from the standpoint of a waker. You should always say this universe is empirically, relatively real from the standpoint of the waker Vishwaha. But Turiya Drishtya, from the standpoint of the Turiyam, the pure consciousness alone, this universe, waking universe, is mithya. Okay? So he says, and one more thing, what is this? First understand the dream. What is this dream? This dream world, the dream objects of experience is nothing but disturbance in sleep. The individual's sleep, the Nidra Devi, is disturbed. Now the total ignorance obtaining in the form of Nidra sleep. What is sleep? In sleep, whenever there is total ignorance, that is called sleep. What is total ignorance? You do not know you are. You do not know what you are. Therefore, there is total ignorance. In waking, you have half knowledge. You know you are. You do not know what you are. In knowledge, you have total knowledge. You know you are. You know you are Brahma. Isn't it? There is two. I am is half knowledge, and that is there now in waking state. In deep sleep state, that is also not there. The half also goes. Therefore, in total ignorance is equal to what? Sleep. Understand? Sleep. And then, in the sleep is disturbed, means what? What is that which disturbs the sleep here? Isn't it? What is that? So, the thoughts. There is a thought flow in your dream. So the dream universe is nothing but the motion, thought motion. Antakarana vritti chalanameva dream world. What is dream world? When you are dreaming, you cannot say the dream world is mithya. Dream is so real for you. When you wake up from sleep, when you see yourself as a waker, having identity with the waker in the morning, after waking up from sleep, you look at the dream which you had experienced before, then you can say, what? My God, the whole dream, time, dream, space, the dream objects, the living, non-living, the pains and pleasures and experiences, everything experienced in the dream world of experience, the dream, experience, and the dreamer, the experiencer, all the three, triputi, is what? One inseparable, one indivisible waker. Isn't it? It is the mind. the whole dream world is nothing but the thought motion caused universe. What is a dream? Nothing but movements in the thoughts. Dream universe is nothing but the thoughts. He says, Yatha Swapne Dvayabhasam Chittam Chalati Mayaya. It is because, how dream is possible? Then there is total ignorance that you do not know you are, you do not know what you are, then in ignorance, Chittam Chalati, when the thoughts are there, Swapne Dvayabhasam, there is what? Dvayabhasam, there is appearance of the duality as the knower known duality in dream, caused by what? Sleep, Nidra. What now? Because of the movement of the thoughts. The thought movement in sleep produces the dream universe. Thought movement in dream produces the dream universe. Similarly, he says, Tatha, in the same way, Jagrat Dvayabhasam. Swapne Dvayabhasam means what? The appearance of the knower known duality in the dream is caused by the thought movement in sleep. Similarly, in the waking also, Jagrat Dvayabhasam. Dvayabhasam means what? The appearance of duality in terms of knower known, knower and the known world. Chittam Chalati Mayaya. This also what now? Caused by Chittam Chalati Maya. The waking universe also is nothing but the seeming motion in consciousness caused by Maya. That's why Maya is called Bhagavan's sleep, Yoga Nidra. Our sleep is Nidra, Bhagavan's sleep is Yoga Nidra Maya. Understand how this is appearing? This world appears. This universe also is nothing but consciousness in seeming motion caused by Maya. Which means what? Our waking experience, waking universe is Bhagavan's dream. Our dream, which is subjectively real, Pratibhasikam Satyam Swapna Prapanchaha. Pratibhasikam Satyam Swapnam Jagat Swapna Jagat. The dream world which we experience in our dream is what? Caused by the thought movement. Similarly, this waking universe is also nothing but consciousness in seeming motion caused by the Maya. Which means, this universe does not exist outside of your mind. Dream universe is nothing but your mind. Waking universe also is nothing but your mind. Remember what? It doesn't exist outside of your mind. And where is the mind? Mind does not exist outside of consciousness. We'll see that again. Advayam cha dvayabhasam.
Advayam cha dvayabhasam.
Chittam swapnena samshayah.
Chittam swapnena samshayah.
Advayam cha dvayabhasam.
Advayam cha dvayabhasam.
Tatha jagranna samshayah.
Tatha jagranna samshayah.
See, these two karikas, 61st and 62, the karikas which repeat the teaching of the third chapter. There are two verses in the third chapter. Karika 29th and Karika 30th. 30th, 29th and 30th Karikas of the third chapter are really reproduced here. Same Karika has come. The only difference is he uses the word manaha there, he uses the word chittam here. Okay? So 61st verse is a reproduction of the 29th verse, and 62nd is the what now? The 30th verse of the third chapter. See, Advayam, the non-dual reality, the consciousness, obtaining as the experiencer, dreamer in the dream, that consciousness alone is in the form of, what now? The experiencer, dreamer, Taijasa, and the experienced world. Advayam, non-dual reality, the consciousness, appears as the duality, world of duality, the knower known in dream. Advayam, consciousness is one, but still, you can say what now? It appears as two, isn't it? You can say, the indivisible, non-dual, the waker alone, is there in dream as the dream experiencer and the dream experienced world, isn't it? Because there is no dreamer or the dreamt outside of the waker. Dream, okay, the dream mind, the mind which is involved in the dream world and the dreamer, dream experiencer is not outside of the waker. Isn't it true? But dvaya abhasam, the appearance of the experiencer, appearance of the experienced world, which basically nothing but non-dual waker. It is the non-dual waker alone there as the experiencer and the experienced in the dream. Therefore, that dream, is dream real or not, if we say, we should not say dream is unreal from the standpoint of the dreamer. The dream is very much real from the standpoint of the Taijasaha. Dreamer, from the standpoint of the dreamer, it is real. That is why it is relatively real. Pratibhasikam satyam, subjectively real. But it is not objectively real because it is not there for other people. Therefore, you cannot give it what? Absolute reality status. Similarly, this objectively real universe also, this vyavaharikam satyam, this is we are transacting in this world. Therefore, it is empirically, relatively, objectively real universe also is what? Not real. From the standpoint of the Turiyam, not from the standpoint of the Vekar Vishwaha. We should never ever say this world is Mithya, the standpoint of the Vekar. We have studied Mandukya Upanishad. Let us go and tell everybody, this world is Mithya. And they will think, you all need some treatment. Isn't it? Therefore, it is only for our end. From which standpoint you are negating this universe as Mithya? From the standpoint of Turiyam, the consciousness, you from the standpoint of Waker alone, you can negate the dream as Mithya. Similarly, from the standpoint of Turiyam, the consciousness alone, you can negate this waking universe as Mithya. So what he wants to say in second line, I am not repeating, but Acharya is repeating. Advayancha dvayabhasam chittam swapne. Isn't it? Na samshayaha. There's no doubt. There's no doubt for the dreamer, the dream world is real. The same dream world is not real for the waker. Similarly, for the one who is from the standpoint of the Turiyam, this dream world is not real. Okay, but what is the difference between dream and the waking? Once you wake up from sleep, when you identify yourself as the waker, you are okay, then the dream world really does not exist for you. Whereas for the wise person who sees himself as a waker relatively, who sees his real self as the consciousness absolutely, okay, the wise person has two roles now. Relatively, he sees himself as the waker. Okay, therefore, as a waker, relatively, he does not deny the perception of duality, he does not deny the perception of the experience of the external world, all that is happening here. He knows the world is real, relatively, empirically. I am the knower of the world is the known. He does accept the duality without denying any of his perception of duality, experience of duality. This person knows absolutely, he knows that there is no knower or the known other than consciousness, isn't it? So even as a absolutely one who sees himself as really sees as the consciousness, which is free from, which is neither the doer nor the experiencer nor the experienced world. And when he sees himself, still the world continues to be there, isn't it? For the waker, the dream world does not continue to be there. But for the wise person, okay, who sees the world as mithya from the absolute standpoint, for him, the world continues to be there. The world does not disappear. Like the dream disappears when you wake up. But after knowledge, what happens to this world? The world will be there. The duality will continue to be there. Perceptions will be there. Hunger, thirst will be there. His body is there. No, all dharmas. The nature of the body will be there. Mind will be there. Everything will be there. But he has what? Objectivity. That is the greatest thing. Objectivity is freedom. This objectivity comes only in jnanam, in wisdom. Isn't it? That's what is said in the 61st, 62nd verses. Okay. Now, from this 63rd verse on, okay, we have some more verses in this until 66, 7, the teaching continues. Hereafter, he wants to use a different way of teaching. Okay, I have used all these examples. What examples I used? Dream example, magician's example, Alata example, repeated and repeated and repeated. Now he wants to say a little differently, the same teaching. The teaching goes on up to 67th verse. Okay, do I need to give a break now? I think we'll start when you come back from the break.